Mark on.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Rob.
Good morning. Hey, John.
How you doing?
Hey, guys. Good.
We are minus Kristen today.
Okay, but we have Tracy.
She's on spring break.
Yes, you've got me, though.
Everybody else is here.
Okay, good.
Would you like for me to start with an update from our last call?
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. So our homework for last week was Center of Influence meetings. So as of right now, we have three on the calendar. Well, actually now, as of this morning, four on the calendar. And two people are say they want us to call for April, and I think that's we had earmarked five for the week. So that's what we've got scheduled. I think the first one is next week.
Really good.
So I was kind of hoping you might be able to, in preparation for those meetings, one of the hopes for today is for you to kind of take us through how that meeting maybe should, you know, introducing Supernova to them and how we should handle that. It's one of our questions for the day. And then we did a 24-month calendar. I know we started it the week before, but we have that more ironed out. Once again, I know from all your reading, it's not necessarily supposed to be product selling. It's more to educate the client. For us, you know, it's also to try to find out more about the client for their financial plan is how we were utilizing it as well.
Yeah, great. That's perfect.
Those were the two, I guess, homework items that we worked on for the week, other than our reading.
Okay.
One question we do have before you go into the COIs is introducing Supernova to our clients, specifically when we're going over the Mini-Me folders and showing them the Supernova sample scheduling to let them, you know, that Kristen will be calling. We've had a couple people kind of respond like, well, you're already, you know, do a great job of contacting us, you know, basically similar to that. Do you have a recommend, you know, how would you respond to that?
I would simply tell them that we're going to operate a little bit more like other professionals that you're used to dealing with. And that would be your doctor, your dentist, your CPA, or your attorney. So we're going to have a little bit more formalized, but it makes it more efficient for you because you know when we're going to be calling. You can be ready for the call, and we know we're not interrupting you when you're in the middle of something important.
Okay.
So it therefore it eliminates time and energy on both our parts, but we eliminate phone tag. So you're not going to be constantly having to call us back when we call and we're interrupting you.
Okay.
Do you see how there are three things there that were all in their benefit?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to always be selling for their benefit. Now, clearly, it's in your benefit, but they want to know what's in it for me. That's really what they're saying. Wait a minute. It's working now. What's in it for me?
Okay.
They're not being selfish. They're just being human.
Right.
Which is to be selfish.
Okay.
Okay.
So more formalized, like other professionals, more efficient, ready for the call, not to interrupt. Eliminate time and energy. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, eliminate time and energy, and particularly phone tag, which is annoying for everybody. is think about no more phone tag for us.
Okay, perfect.
For you, you know. And, you know, they're prepared. That's another thing. So you're going to be much better prepared for each call. Because we're sending you an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so is that four now? And then fifth would be, we're going to then also send you an executive summary of the thing, of the agenda items that we covered and resolved.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So it makes it very, very concrete for them. Oh, wow. So you're going to be doing all of this. The least I can do is get on the phone. But sometimes they'll say, so what should I do? Well, you need to be there. Okay, if you can't be there, let us know, because we're going to be prepared. We're putting some work into this. So we want you there. Second, when we send you the agenda, review the agenda. And if there's any items that you wrote down on your folder during the week for as questions or things you want to cover, be sure you email those back and we'll put them on the agenda.
Okay.
So there's a couple of things that have made people move their accounts from us, and they've documented those things. And one of them is they don't feel as though they've been heard. First, they don't know who we are. They don't really know who we are. We do that. We take care of that with a financial plan. Second, they don't feel as though they're heard, meaning they don't feel as though we're listening. And then they don't take action when I tell them to, okay? So by asking, do you have anything for the agenda, we're asking them we want to hear from you. By then taking that item and putting it on the agenda, meaning we've been heard, and then when we call, we're taking action on the agenda item that they're interested in. But maybe just tell me, what do you think the impact is of trade negotiation? So it may seem like it's a general thing, but they want to know what you think.
John, do you have any other questions on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good.
Sounds good.
That was pretty good, because I don't think I've ever articulated that before.
Congratulations.
Right, you were ready for it, yeah. I would say.
Yeah, I have, you know, I talk about it a lot, but I probably haven't figured out that there's five things that they benefit from. So that's pretty good. That's how we write our new book. See? We tell you, and then I write it down, and then I put it in a new book.
Yeah.
When you get enough of them, you have a book, or at least you have a good article. Anyway. What else?
On the 24-month calendar, from last week, I think one of the things that we were doing was trying to put too much, like, in a month or not giving it 2 months.
Yeah.
So we've gone in and kind of made those adjustments.
Good.
Now, we don't have things just because of our practice. We don't have mortgages in there. We don't have annuities in there. But we do have, liquidity. So that it would pull in, you know, if they had a liquidity event or the need for cash or a mortgage, you know, that would come up in that topic versus actually making it a conversation on mortgages. That's just not something we do much of here. A lot of times, depending on the mortgage, we actually refer that just for competitive.
Here's my take on that, okay? Mm-hmm. I think you should, asset management and liability management are not equal halves, but two very important parts of a client management, like you would manage if you were the CFO of a corporation. Your liability management would be very important, as not as important as asset management, but maybe. Okay, so mm-hmm. I think, especially as clients become wealthier, liability management is very important. And doing an analysis of their liabilities and the efficiency of those liabilities is really important.
Okay.
All right. For example, why would a wealthy person have any credit card debt? Right. So you always want to be helping them with the most efficient use of their balance sheet. They should never be paying more. It's like giving them best returns on their money market funds. I mean, you want to have the best returns or the least cost of borrowing money. So I think covering that is important. Whether or not you sell it isn't important. What is most important is they're paying for your advice and counsel. And you can give them good advice that a line of credit might be more efficient than a mortgage in this particular case. That clearly a line of credit would be more efficient than credit card debt, right? Margin would be better than credit card debt, but not as good as a line of credit. And a mortgage might be even better than the line of credit. So getting in use of the most efficient and effective and least cost is what they're paying you for it. And any time you get a chance to save a client money, it's a huge opportunity. I always like to think of you as their advocate, as their attorney, as their person that's looking out for them to save them money in every area. And one of the things that we used to do more of is you know, write down all the different ways that we save the client money so that we're not a cost to them. You know, they look and they look at us and say, oh, we're paying $70,000 a year in costs. So we're a cost center instead of an asset. And so we as consultants have to justify that fee, and we can do that by saving them money time and time again, but you can't do it anonymously. So when you save them money on their credit card, they're borrowing on their international transaction fees, when you save the money at the ATM, those are just credit card savings. You know, talk about then getting them a more efficient mortgage or using a line of credit. And then we get into estate planning and how all the money we save there and proper titling. And you know, we can go from each area of the of our advice and guidance and show them that accumulating money in a 529 versus accumulating money in a regular account is much more efficient and saves them money, saves them taxes. So every time we're saving them money through taxes or a lower cost, we should be saving those, making a note of those savings and accumulating them and showing the client that we're actually an advocate for them.
You're right. This is small, but I was talking to a client today. They always had an American Express card, but we set him up with whatever the premier Visa card that UBS has. And he was just telling me about they were going to California, but when they check their luggage, it's always 54 pounds, and they charge them more. And I just said, you know, if you use the UBS card, we'll credit your charge fees on your luggage back to you. He said, really? I said, yeah, they'll do that. If you check in a lounge, we'll credit the lounge fees back to you 8 times a year. And that sounds silly, but in the conversation I had, last week, I called one of the banks here about an equity line that somebody had, and they were charging them 5.5% on an equity line of credit, up from 3.5% a year ago. So I asked the bank why we did that. Their response was, how else are we going to make money? What's that based off of? Mortgages are 4.5%. Equity credit lines are 5.5% right now. So, I mean, you have
Sometimes, but not with you guys. I bet you guys can do it for 3.5%.
Depends on the client, but yes.
Depends on the client.
But, I mean, you get a big client. Now, let me tell you something. People want to be smart. They really are annoyed when they are caught being dumb. All right? So every time you do something like that, even though it's a small amount of money, you make them feel smart, and they say, so that's why I'm doing business with you. Because you make me smart in this business. You're saving me money. Wealthy people are no different than anybody else. They love to save money. And so for when you cover their ATM fees, and things like that, luggage fee, they think it's brilliant. And they'll actually tell their friends.
Yeah.
So,
Then I thought about the hotel rates they could get at certain places, too. That was interesting. So, anyway, you're right. All this is a good point.
Yeah, it's attention to detail, and that's what they are looking for. They're looking for an advisor that cares about them personally and has the time to give them the attention to detail they need. So, you know, the Edward Jones is not going to be doing that with 2,000 clients. You can. And that's why they do business with you versus the internet. Versus Schwab. Versus anybody that is just mass marketing. And so, you know, it's not going to be any easier as time goes on. It's going to get harder because of the ability of everybody to be more efficient. So we have to really tell people what we're doing for them and then actually do it. And 1242 gives you the time and the discipline to make those things a part of every call. So literally, I would suggest that on the agenda, you put down there an item of, you know, how did we save you money this month, this year? How did we save you money? Just maybe that's not the right phrase to put on an agenda item, but, you know, how are we being an advocate for you this month? And then just come up with a list of 10 or 12 ways that you save the client money and just remind them every month. Oh, by the way, just a reminder, we're saving you money on your ATM charges. We're saving you money on this. I know it's not a big deal in terms of total volume, but I just want to remind you that we're working for you all the time, trying to come up with ways to save you money. And who does that? Right? Nobody. Everybody is wanting to raise fees and charge them more. Who's going to voluntarily show them that they're saving them money? Nobody. So it's very refreshing from the client's point of view.
Great. Well, while we're on the subject of the 24 months, what's your thoughts on Social Security and Medicare being a topic?
I think let me phrase it. I think it's one of those things that you can put on the agenda for everybody, and it's not going to be relevant for everybody, but it's okay.
Okay.
Meaning you just put it on there and then just say, hey, any questions on Social Security or Medicare or anything that's going on? And you should know who they are doing their Medicare, you know, Part D through. Are they United Healthcare? Who's their vendor that they're using? And you should have a center of influence that is a master of that.
We do.
Meaning
we have a Medicare recommendation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have a person that they go to and they buy their United Healthcare through AARP, right, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that who you recommend?
To be honest with you, it depends on each client's situation, but she does it all. Now, the one thing we don't do is we ask for feedback, but we don't actually know what it is that the final recommendation was.
Yeah, you should know that.
Okay.
And you should know it for a couple of reasons. One is you want to be sure that she's not, you know, even though she sounds great, she's doing a great job and everybody loves her, is she doing the right thing?
Okay.
Okay? You need to know that.
Right.
Now, we on the island, now I don't know whether it's still the case or not, but here we spent a lot of time researching this because we're all the same age, we're all 70, you know, we're at 60, whatever. When did we do? I guess that was a long time ago. 65, right? Anyway, when we're all going through, a bunch of us were the same age, all going through it, and all with the same question. So one guy was an engineer, and he's an architect, and he did all the homework and said, okay, here's the deal. Best program. United Healthcare through AARP. And we said, why? He said, I hate AARP because they're so liberal, but we have to use them, and that's the most effective. You get the best coverage at the least cost. And we said, okay. So everybody went. He said, here's the person. Go see him. And we did. So that's then, you know, if you have a different opinion on this or you're getting different advice, a whole lot of people would like to know about it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's another one of those little things that everybody wants to be smart about. And you'd hate to be dumb.
Okay.
All right. So here's a perfect situation where you don't sell it, but you can get credit for being a consultant. You know, do your homework. It's like you don't give tax advice, but you can send the people to the right CPA.
Okay. All right.
That's your networking. You know, that's connecting. We spend a lot of time talking about connecting and being a connector. And it's a connector to anybody, you know, pretty much anybody for anything. You're just the person people go to get answers. And for help, even if they're not doing business with you, you're always there to help.
Okay. All right. We're going to need to rework the 24-month calendar, but very doable.
Sure. Yeah, I just, it's all kinds of liability management is important, and covering insurance in all areas is also important. Just generally understanding, you know, what you should cover. And some people, you know, you can really get carried away, but you can also have some simple rules that can be very helpful to people. Like, you know, based on a person's net worth, how much of their insurance, how much of their jewelry should they insure? You know, when does it become practical or not practical? You know, how much, what kind of, what's the general size of a liability policy on a house, on your general umbrella policy? How big should it be? So, you know, people don't expect that stuff from you. And when you have the answers, it's a wonderful thing for them. Because they don't, you know, when they hear it from somebody that's conflicted, they don't know to believe them or not, or trust them. Not from you, because you have no vested interest. Except to help them. There's only a, you know, there's a limited number of questions that can be asked about any product or service. Everybody thinks, oh my God, it's a million. No, it's not. There's just so many questions, you know. How much flood insurance should you have if you have a second home? And who should you buy it from? You know, what's the cheapest way to get it? It's just a limited number of questions. There's a lot, but there's, once you get them, you know what you're doing.
I think,
and that's
the other,
what people, you know, that's what your clients that are, you know, wealthy and retired and living in Florida or Arizona and things like that, this is, you know, that's all they think about. You think they're thinking about their portfolio? No, they're thinking about all these other things. Anyway.
I think the other thing we were really hoping that you would be able to cover is getting us prepared for our Center of Influence meetings that we have.
Okay, you can do it in a couple of different ways. These are going to be meetings with people that you already know, right?
Yes.
Okay, you already have a good, are they already centers of influence?
I would say half and half. I mean, some have given us introductions, some of them have not.
Are they centers of influence for us, or are they centers of influence?
Yeah, a center of influence for you is somebody that likes you, trusts you, and is willing to send you introductions without you asking.
I would say we've got 5-4 meeting, whatever it is, scheduled. It's half and half.
Okay. So you want to, I would say, you want to, I'll teach you how to do it with a person that you know, but is not regularly sending you centers of sending you introductions. Okay.
Okay.
So there's a different model for somebody that you don't know, but you get introduced to, where they're fresh and they've never met you. Okay. You're going to go a couple more steps. For a center of influence that you know and has sent you one or two referrals, or hasn't sent you any, but you think they will and they're good people, my suggestion would be to meet them and, first of all, do what you normally do, which is, you know, you spend a portion of every meeting getting reacquainted and talking about things that you're both familiar with. I always say the first half of every meeting is spent determining why you're the same. Okay. Especially if you're meeting somebody new. Why we went to the same schools, we grew up the same, you know, we have these people in common, we went, you know, blah, 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 we both play tennis, we both play golf. And you naturally are drawn to people who are the same as you are. Okay? It's so funny because we spend so much time on diversity and there, in reality, we only want to be with people that are just like us. It's weird, but we feel safe when we're with our tribe, and that's just human nature. So that's of course you do that in the beginning, and the more you know them, the least amount of time you have to spend, but you need a certain amount of time, 10, 15 minutes, just saying hello and getting caught up. Then you spend the rest of the time talking about why you're different, meaning why am I different from every other financial advisor out there? All right. So that's in any meeting, whenever you're having a meeting, whenever you're talking to somebody, you're trying to make them a client or a center of influence, you want to make them into a good center of influence. So in this case, I would tell them what you were doing, and the truth is always best. So you tell them that you had this problem, you hired a consultant, so you go through the same pitch you would that you were telling a client about Supernova. So you go through and tell them what you're doing, why you're excited about the business again, why you're going to be able to be of more service to clients, and then go through the whole thing. So remember. So what are we offering? Multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to our problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? And he'll say or she'll say, it sounds wonderful. Congratulations. How are you able to do that? And it's because we're going to limit our practice to less than 100 clients. And they'll be going, oh, my God, I wish I could do that. And we just simply say, you know, it's based on the 80-20 rule. We did an analysis and discovered that, you know, 20% of our clients gave us 80% of our revenues. But we're also trying to now grow with more clients like the top 20% of the practice that we have now. So our minimums are $1 million. And what we have million two, we have 1.5 million and 3 million. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Okay. So you just say our absolute minimum now is going to be 1.5 million, and our target for who we really want, top 20%, is 3 million. Or I just say our minimum is now 3 million. We raise that from about 1 million. And the reason we're doing that is clearly we're going to increase the quality of the client experience, increase our service experience, but it also, it's really more of our target niche. It's who we can best serve. Because people need to have enough money and have complicated enough situations that it's good for them and it's good for us. So those are the people that really can utilize our services. And then just turn around and say, actually, I wouldn't do it exactly that way. I would do it the other way. I'd say, tell me about your practice and what's changed since we talked before. You always want to be interested in them first. So once you've done, listened to them and heard about their practice, then you tell them what's going on with your practice. And so this would probably, you know, this requires some time, a nice, comfortable situation, maybe coffee or a lunch or something where you're not rushed. And so what you're interested in, and so now you circle back with them and say, you know, so let's just circle back with who you're really interested in. You know, what's your target niche? What's your target? You know, who do you best serve? So I know that I can make more accurate introductions to you, something that you're really going to be excited about. And they'll tell you exactly who they want as clients. And then you just move on to step two, which is, if that sounds good, we're doing the same thing with a few carefully selected centers of influence. So we'll meet monthly. We will exchange introductions, and we'll help each other's business. Now, if this is a person you already know is solid and you want to help them, you simply can hand them the book, the Supernova Advisor, and say, hey, give this a read, and then when we meet next month, we'll talk further about it and what we're doing and how it might apply to your practice. Because I think I can be of help, kind of as your consultant, in thinking through things that you might do to be more effective and raise your productivity. And that's the idea. From then on, you guys are a team working together to help each other's practice. And you make it clear, okay, so my goal every time we meet is to bring you an introduction. So we'll have a month to find someone. And then at that meeting or the next meeting, you can teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model. This is how we find clients for you. We ask every client that we have and other people in the community. It doesn't have to be a client, of course. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And when they say, no, I'm thinking of a change, then you'll be one of three people that we introduce. We're required to do that. But when they ask me, well, who do you think is the best? I will tell them that these are the people that get the most enthusiastic endorsements. And once we've been doing this for, you know, a year or two, we're going to know who gets the most enthusiastic endorsements. And we can legitimately put the finger on the scale a little bit. So it's a pretty simple model. There's five steps when you've never met somebody. It's five separate meetings, but if you've met them and you know them socially, you're not going to need five steps. You can cut it down. But I like the idea of you visiting their office and them visiting your office. You don't have to do it right away, but somewhere in the beginning of the relationship, really important. Because you want to, first of all, before you actually engage them, you want to be sure that they're the right person for you. Because this is a longer-term relationship. Now, if it's not going to be a good one, you can break it off. It's okay. But it's really important that you understand their motivations, their quality, you know, what are their values? You know, we were probably pretty naive, at least I am still, pretty naive as to people's values and motivations and things. So I think you better check. I didn't even think we needed to check on most people, but after today's world, I'm really confused. I think there's some pretty valueless people out there that are lurking in business. So I would always make sure you had picked a good person. I'm sure you have, but
I think we have to do a little more homework than we may have thought we had to do.
So, what if you have concerns, the work that the estate planner does is good, but have concerns with their office? And I don't mean the staff necessarily, but more the
physical
look
plant,
of the office, where it is.
I'd make them come to your office if you feel that strongly to meet clients. You want an introduction? I'm afraid because of the condition of your environment, I'm not going to bring anybody here.
Okay.
I mean, hey, you brought it up. It must be bad.
It's not as nice as others. That's the polite way of saying it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really not smart marketing, right?
Well,
there's ways to save money, and then there's being stupid, you know.
He's probably the one on, at least one of the ones on the list that we're not sure about. We've had some contact with him just in the last year or so, and I'm not sure if he's going to be a center of influence for us or not. So when I get with him, it's going to be, you know, tell me about a little bit about more about your practice. I'm going to tell you a little more about mine and see if we've got some commonalities. I've already sent two clients to him, so reciprocity would have to be in the arrangement too.
Yeah, estate planning attorneys are typically horrible at doing that. I think it's one of these situations where you really have to teach them. They'll always tell you, well, I only get introductions from other financial advisors, so I can't send you anybody. And the answer is, you know, that's not going to be 100% of the cases. So,
no, and Robin, you and I know, especially this particular one that I think Tracy's thinking of, he and I are the same age, so you also have quite a few people retiring. I mean, he's bringing his son into the practice. So, you know, there is some opportunity when some of the advisors that maybe he's worked with in the past go out of the business.
Oh, yeah, no question. No question.
That'll be an interesting meeting that I have with him.
Well, you also have to, you know, one of the things that I always look for in hiring, and that's what you're really doing here. You're hiring a partner, right? I look for the number one quality in successful financial advisors is optimism. That's number one. And there's a book called Learned Optimism. You can actually learn to be an optimist. You don't have to be a realist, as they call themselves, or a pessimist. You don't want to do business with people that are not optimists, if you can help it, because they're not that much fun. The other thing is energy. If they have, you know what it's like. You are around people with a lot of positive energy. They have physical energy and they have mental energy. They're fun to be around and they're go-getters. They want to grow. They want to. It's not an age-dependent thing. No, you may change as you get into your 60s and 70s that you don't want to be a crazy person anymore. But you can feel it when you're with a person with good energy. You can light them up. They even though they're older, they still get fired up. They still are fun to be with, and they still would be interesting to have, and they would still work for you. You know, they don't care about themselves making that much money anymore, but they do you a favor and find somebody for you. That's the kind of person you want. And they can be 30 or they can be 70. That doesn't matter. It's the energy. So the person with negative energy or pessimist, it's just they're not fun to be with. They're not interesting. They may be smart as heck, and many of them are, Mensas and all this stuff. And they may be perfect for what you need because you just need somebody to do documents. But don't expect them to give you many introductions because they're not going to have many. It's like finding a partner. You need to go through quite a few people to find a good one. So don't expect because you have 3 appointments that the game's over, or 5 appointments. You may have to go through a number of people. That's why asking the question of all your clients is a really good one. Can you enthusiastically endorse blank? CPAs, attorneys, estate planning attorneys, cardiologists, everybody. And there's a whole world of positive, enthusiastic, high-energy people. And they're a lot of fun to be with, and it's a great way to keep your life fun.
Next month should be interesting and fun.
Well, you know, we tend to attract people like ourselves, so your practice is probably a good practice. You know, you probably have people that are really nice and enthusiastic and high energy and all the things we all want. So you know these things. You have a great practice. You're smart. You surround yourself with good people. It's just sometimes good to remind yourself of these things, right?
Yeah.
So, Bob Snyder, thank you.
Have I become a COI for you? And when are you going to schedule an appointment to take me out for coffee?
You are a center of influence, and you because I like you, I trust you, and you send me introductions without me asking.
Yeah.
You are highly qualified.
I'd do
a 12-4-2 with you.
Yeah. Bob and I discuss business, you know, the practice of our business on a somewhat regular basis. He's one of the few people around that I can do that with. He moved to Morgan Stanley, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago. And he's got some challenges in his business, and we were having lunch 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I just done some of your homework and done some things, and he was describing some challenges he had, and I just said, this is what you need to do. And it's nice to know that he actually listened to me.
Yeah, we had 2 nice conversations. It's interesting, his cadence of his voice is very similar to yours. I don't know if you've ever noticed.
I always say he has a voice like Bob Barker, where he's got the
Bob
voice.
Yeah, he does. He's got a great voice, but your cadence and his are very similar. Yeah, you both have a nice cadence. Anyway, he's signing up, and I think he's so thank you. He's the perfect guy for me because he's, you know, he doesn't do this all the time. He's serious. He thinks through things. We had 2 calls. Went through everything, and he's solid. So we'll have he'll be very successful with it. I mean, he'll be amazingly successful.
It's amazing that he is going to do it, and then I'm going to let Tracy talk about Bob. Mm. She's not going to talk about
no
Bob.
Comments.
Bob is very competitive.
Oh, so there's that side of it, too. He doesn't want you to get something he doesn't have, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's one of the more competitive people, I think, that you'll run across.
See, that's so funny, because that didn't come across at all. I mean, it was just very thoughtful, you know, kind of like you, very thoughtful, thinking through things carefully.
When we go cycling, play tennis, he'll even go to my workout class. And not very often, but every once in a while, it is always a competition.
You may not know it, but there's a little side of me that got that problem too.
I don't see it as a problem, but he's very competitive, and it'll give us something to talk about it. And I was texting with him. It was probably 10:30 last night, and he said he was going to do it. I think he had to talk to Paige one more time, and then he was getting on board.
That's great. Yeah. I told him that I'd have Cindy call him, and he was accepting of that idea and looked forward to it. So confidentiality precludes otherwise discussing it, but I think it's important that I thank you and thank you.
You can help him.
Great. Yeah, I think I can help him a lot. I mean, you know, he just seems like a good guy, open to good ideas, and you know, as you know, if you've coached anything, having good students makes the job so much more fun than, you know, just having students. It's great. I mean, it's really fun when you have somebody that's a student of the business and has been looking for ideas and looking for solutions, and all of a sudden you give them to them, and it's like, wow. Very excited.
All right, Tracy just left, and I think Ginger's off the call. Hold on just a second. He's walking in right now. You going too? Okay. You off the call? Stay off. All right, so it's just you and me now.
Yep.
They're not big fans of Bob.
Okay.
For whatever reason, and it's okay. It's just different personalities. But if we go to Cycle Bar, if he goes to Orange Theory Fit, it is a competition. And I mean, it's somebody, you know, who's going to die first? I mean, that's the way it is with him. He's got his own Porsche racing team. He keeps a car over in Virginia. I mean, he goes off on these trips to Patagonia. I mean, he's 54 now. He's a bachelor. I mean, he's in some ways a kind of a lonely life, but he dates 23-year-olds. Good for him. But he wouldn't be anybody that Tracy would like in particular. When he was in the office together, he and I had great energy together. He left right time, got a big check, went to Morgan Stanley. I get it all then. But I've stayed in touch with him because he and I will talk. He just said, well, John, I'm being told that I'm a dinosaur in the business. And I said, it's funny, I'm thinking that. I said, that's what's going on around here. With his situation with Paige, you know, Paige wants more compensation. She wants this or that. Well, she's moved to St. Louis. And he gave me one of the best lines that I've heard in a long time. And I haven't used it. I don't know if I use it around here. And he just said, you know, he goes, we're always shaking new fruit off of the Bob tree.
Yeah.
He said, I'm waiting, and he said this to Paige, I'm waiting for your tree to grow some fruit so we can get it off of there. So Bob and I would be rainmakers. Bob and I would be the guys that are working on the weekends. And I'll send him a picture of some of the 40-year-olds that come into the office here at 11 o'clock every day.
Yeah.
And I just said, this is the new generation, Bob. But you know, he and I are going to fight this battle, and we're going to keep doing what we're going to do. And I said, Bob, you have to do the supernova because that's going to allow you to do what you did when you got your business growing from ground zero, same as me. You go out there, you're on the phone, you're networking, you're looking for referrals, and I said, this puts structure to your practice and lets you do what you're really good at doing. And he is aggressive, and he is good at getting new money. He and I, every year, have a new asset challenge.
Well, good for you.
And we go out, and we have a drink. My wife's getting ready to go to Florida for 9 days. He and I will go out a couple of times, and we'll talk about stuff. I mean, you know, he's been in the business since 89. I've been in 82. We both grew it from, you know, cold calling and all this stuff. And, you know, we're still the guys that you would remember from Merrill Lynch. I mean, that's how you got the business going. And now, you know, it's financial planning. It's all the stuff we're talking. I just said, Bob, you need to build this infrastructure around yourself. You can be, you know, the way you are, but build this infrastructure. And, but I said, you've got to have a buy-in from Paige. You've got to have a buy-in from Stephanie. If not, get rid of them. Find somebody else. And I've got that with one of the other advisors. Seth came in my office today. He goes, you've got great infrastructure. And I said, yeah. Kristen, 15 years. Tracy, 28 years. I said, it takes time to develop that. You just,
right.
But that allows you to grow and to do all the things that you want to do outside of the business. Up until, I don't think I've ever taken a 2-week vacation, but up until a couple of years ago, I never took a 1-week vacation.
Right.
But anyway, Bob will be good for you. I'll keep him in line. I'll bust his chops, you know, but this will give us something to talk about.
Well, and we should set a game. I mean,
yes.
I'd have two guys like you in the office, and I wouldn't, you know, be awful about it or blatant, but I would just kind of mention that such and such was, you know, Bob brought in a pretty nice account the other day, you know.
No, that is exactly it. That is the game. And
right.
I mean, everything. He goes to Orange Theory, I go to Cycle Bar. I mean, who's on the top of the list up there? You know, who's the one that's going to say, I'm tired, I can't. No, that's the perfect, we'll go at it. And, you know, for Tracy, that's, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're doing it. But that's just the way Bob and I feed off of that. And he does too. It is a game. The old days at Merrill, you know this, they used to take the production, the monthly production, they'd pass it out and they'd stick it on the board. You knew where you were.
Oh, yeah. I'd casually have it on a clipboard behind my secretary's, you know, right beside my secretary. And everybody would stop by to see Marianne every day.
Yeah. And heaven forbid they would do that. Now you might hurt somebody's feelings.
Right. And heaven forbid that I didn't have it out there one day.
Yes.
They'd come to my office. Where's the production? You know, I'd be like, nice day. It's right here. I was just looking at it.
we don't want to hurt anybody.
But, you know, I ran the Masters in those days. You know, we had two things. We had the asset gathering campaigns, then turned into the Masters, and then we had, you know, fee-based services, and then it became Supernova. And so, you know, when I didn't, I always had to have something crazy that I was working on that would be a way for me to vent all my aggressiveness and help the guys that were really looking for the juice, you know, that were looking for some fun. I'd say, bring in some assets. We're going to Europe, you know, let's go.
Well, I have those old CMA campaigns. I went to Rome, Vienna, China, on those things. Just give me a game and let's go. But you'll have to
enough. You saw me on those then, right?
Who was the guy? Lonnie.
Walsh.
Well,
Lonnie Stephens.
Yeah.
Pat Walsh was the one that ran them all.
Yeah.
Pat Walsh ran them. He was in charge of CMA. He was in charge of, you know, all of that. And I, from Indianapolis, would bring, you know, four couples, five couples, six couples. You know, we had eight at one time when I was a district. We had, I think, four couples from my office and four couples from the whole rest of the district, which was 14 states. So it was just insane. I mean, we had so much fun.
I worked for Mickey McGuire.
Oh, yeah, sure. So you were right next to me.
Yeah, I was Little Mickey. You know, that's what they say, Little Mickey. Now then he changed it to C.H. But,
right, yeah, I was Mickey, right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a riot.
Mickey's
so we go back. So we were all on the same trips then.
Yeah, that one with the toga party in Rome.
Yeah, and we did Russia. We did, you know, the cruise. We did Rome, Vienna. Vienna. We did Budapest and Hungary. We did Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And London. I mean, it was wonderful. And I'd collect photo contests on every one of them, put all our photos on there to get more pictures on the photo contest than anybody else. I was a psycho.
Well, you're gonna have fun with Bob and me, but with Tracy, that doesn't really resonate with them.
Yeah, I know. I have to control it. You know, I'm here in a normal environment with regular people, and I have to kind of just really watch myself. I'm getting ready for the club championship in golf, and I have to, you know, I've been practicing. I've been taking lessons. I won it the last 2 years, and so I'm trying to low-key win it again, you know.
One of the things I told Bob is I said, Bob, he's had the same suit size for 40 years. You and he are the only two that I know have done that. I went to Chicago with him. I had UBS sent us up there just for some conference that we never went to. I watched him spend $30,000 at Barney's on clothes. You can just stoke it. We can get really competitive on this, but in a good way. It's never a nasty.
Yeah, always fun, right? Isn't it? It's just fun.
That's why I got in the business.
You can't explain it to somebody else. They think you're crazy and way too competitive, and it's not healthy. And I'm like, are you kidding? I had more fun.
Yeah.
I had more fun at Merrill Lynch because of the craziness of the competition than I did, you know, doing anything else, I think.
They embraced it. They let you do it. I won the...
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what Orange Theory Fitness is?
No.
There's one in Nashville now, but I go there and work out almost every day. They had a rowing competition with a team. Well, the whole day, my team won. Now, I got some kid that's 24 years old, you know, that just played football in the pit. We had a girl, and let's go. We saw what the 6 a.m. class had done, and we made sure we beat it. And there was no way. And the instructor goes, well, they were close. And I go, close doesn't count. You know, so your golf, Bob with cycling, whatever it is, tennis, you can take the two of us and just to say, John's doing this a lot better than you, Bob.
No.
But he's been so polite. And Rob speaks really highly of you. And I was texting him last night. I said, I'll be curious to see if he brings it up on the call. But he needs to. He needs you. He needs you to get him through the next 10 years.
I'll feed him. I was very good at hiring, and I would hunt for guys like you guys. You know, it just was so much fun because when you find one that's, you know, just really loves the game, then you just can light them up. I didn't care. Everybody would compete in the Masters and CMA contests on the local level, right? And they try and win the, like, fourth level game or something. All I cared about was taking guys across the ocean, right? I wanted to win the number one in the country and go across the ocean. And so I would have two boards in my office, the rankings, the national rankings of the offices, because I didn't care. I mean, I knew if I
I had all the offices, I'd be number one of the district. I didn't care about that. I cared about the offices. I wanted my guys all to win, all my managers. And then I wanted my, and then I'd have the national rankings of the FAs in the country, but I'd only have the top 20 listed in the whole country.
Yeah. Well, that's where I met. That's okay. Where I met my friends from Bloomfield Hills and Northbrook. You know, I'd meet them on those trips. There was nobody from Louisville going, except me.
Right.
Year I said I wanted to go on a trip. All right. Well, I better get off of here, but I'll make sure Bob. You know, he looks like he's set. He just said he had to clear something out with Paige, but I will deliver him and then tell him when you talk to him, or I'll tell him that we're going to have a competition.
Yeah, we'll set an asset gathering campaign.
Yeah, or just tell him he can pick it, but we'll have a competition. Whatever, we'll let him, since he's the newbie, and I've got such a head start on him, that we'll let him pick what he wants to compete on.
Read the chapter on centers of influence, and read about Ken Shapiro and Tom Lavaccari. They're UBS guys. They are just like you guys.
We had a call with their team last month.
Oh, you did. Good for you.
Yeah, and then I got the referral book. It came the other day. My wife looked. I said, "You need to order it." She goes, "Well, we ordered it in 2011." I said, "I know. I sat in a seminar with him, but she's doing a renovation of the house. My study has been turned into a walk-in closet." She goes, "Where do you think the book is?" I said, with the rest of all my books, they're at half price books right now. You got rid of all my books. So I'm reading that. And anyway.
Good. Good.
You and Bob and I will have a lot of fun.
John, this is great. I appreciate it very much.
I'm going to let you go.
Okay. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Have a good week. We'll talk next week. Thanks.
Thanks for the introduction. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.